We thank you this day for everything that you've put in our lives. We thank you for your, we do thank you for your dreams, and we do thank you for your visions. We thank you that your plans are to bless us and not harm us, plans to give us an expected end. Lord, I pray today that you will show us the importance of your Spirit, show us the importance of your anointing that you've placed in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself to each one of us in such a way that we can know that what's on one person's life is no more important than what you've placed on our lives. It's just different. God, and I thank you today that we can come together as a family and maybe not agree on everything, but we do agree that you are exactly who that you say that you are. You're good. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, and on the third day you resurrected him. And I thank you that we're celebrating Christmas at this time. I thank you for this season that we can sit back and acknowledge that it was your plan that redeemed us. It was your plan that brought us to this point, and you are good all by yourself. So today we say thank you. We yield to you, and I pray that you will open up my brothers and my sisters' hearts. God, I pray that you will reveal your word to them like you did to me about the scripture. God, I pray that it will change us. I pray that it will inspire us. And most of all, I pray that it will bring you the glory that you so rightfully deserve. We pray these things by faith in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture is 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We have David and Saul. Man, you're talking about some good books to read. 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. God will really speak to you, I believe. He'll show you what it truly means to be a servant. I believe he'll show you what it truly means to be patient and wait for the time that he set to bring you up. So you have David. And what I really, really want to hit on today is the importance of what God has placed in your life and the importance of what God has placed in my life and in your family and my family and your kids and my kids and your friends and my friends. I want each of us to think about and appreciate that, yes, my gifting's not what Coach Pardee's is or Alex's or Brother Kevin's or Sister Angela's. Yes, my gift is different, but it's not better. What God has placed in my life is what he chose for me because he knew what I needed, and he's placed it in your life. And I believe some of us, myself definitely, overlook our giftings at times. We get so busy with everything else that we forget that God is the one that redeemed you, that loved you, that set this whole plan in order. But that's something that when you read all the struggles that King David went through, that he never, not one time, forgot about the goodness of the Lord. And even moreover, he never forgot the importance of the Lord's anointed. And when I say the Lord's anointed, yes, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit upon somebody's life, but it even goes further than that. It's God choosing that person for such a time, such a season, such a moment, and it's when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and they can do what God's told them to do. So in 1 Samuel, we have chapter 24. I'll just start at verse 1. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. You have David, who has served Saul. He's done exactly what Saul needed. He has served the Lord's anointed, but an evil spirit has come upon Saul, and Saul thinks David wants to steal the kingdom from him. He thinks that he wants to steal the throne from him. So for many years, you have Saul chasing after David in many places, not to put him in prison or to put him into jail, but to literally take his life. This is the same David that when these evil spirits would come upon King Saul, the Bible says that David would play the instrument, I believe it was the lyre, he would play it, and these evil spirits would leave Saul. He served the king. He was respectful to the king. He absolutely loved the king and the king's family, especially his son Jonathan. So in the eyes of Saul, David had done no wrong, except Saul got jealous. Except Saul wasn't secure in his position in the Lord, so he let everybody that was around him, he felt like they were trying to attack him and trying to take from him. It's a good example of what can happen to you and me when we don't understand that our giftings from God will make room for us. It's a good example that we can focus on that can say, God, as long as you're with me, then you're my protector. You're the one that'll keep me safe. All Saul had to do was stay focused on the Lord and be secure in his relationship with God. But Saul chose to focus on other things. He chose to not wait on God's prophet. He chose to do things his way. And then there was circumstances and consequences that he had to face. But I want you to understand, as David is running from King Saul, he didn't do anything wrong. He was completely innocent in the eyes of everybody, but he's literally running from for his life because a man was jealous. He's running for his life because a man wasn't secure in his position that God had given him. So the Bible says, so he came to the sheepfolds of the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. He had to go to the bathroom. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" In other words, David and his men have been facing persecution. They've been away from their families. Their families have been on the run. Their lives have literally been in the balance every single day. And David had already received a word from the Lord that told him that God was going to bring his enemies into his hands. His men are tired. His men are worried. His men are scared. And they get David excited and they're like, "Listen, this is the promise that God made you. God has brought your enemy, King Saul, into this cave so that you can ultimately kill him." And David, the Bible says in verse 5, latter part of verse 4, it said, David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Verse 5, now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Let that sink in for a minute. They're hungry, they're tired, they feel abandoned, they feel misused. How many of us today can say that we can testify that sometimes we feel that way? Sometimes we feel like we're being overlooked, we feel like nothing's going our way, we're paying our tithes, we're paying our offerings. God, where's my blessing like Brother Kevin's? God, why can't I get peace like Sister Alex? God, where's my, God, where's my, God, where's my? And David has literally been given his enemy into his hand in this cave that Saul is exposed, Saul is weak, Saul has no people around him to protect him, but he is still the Lord's anointed. He's still chosen by God. David is getting excited. David's brothers and his sisters, his people that he's served with, people in the infantry, so to speak, with him, have got him excited and said, "Listen, God has did what God promised you." And the Bible says that David secretly goes up there and cuts a piece of Saul's robe. And as he goes back to his men, the Bible says, depending on what version you have, that his heart was struck or his heart was smitten. David felt bad for cutting the robe of Saul. But what about Saul trying to kill David? What about Saul kicking David out of the palace? What about Saul making promises to David that he never fulfilled? But that's not what David was focused on. David was focused on that he cut the robe of the Lord's anointed. David today understood that if God has chosen something and somebody in your life, that you should honor the spirit that's in them over the mistakes that they make. David understood that, yes, God, I'm going through troubles. Yes, God, I'm going through trials. And even though everybody around me is telling me to kill him, God, what are you saying? What in the world could we learn from that today? When a business opportunity or when one of our enemies has some bad things happen to them, should we get excited or should we pray for them? Should we be happy that they finally got what they deserved? I know sometimes I feel that way. I know sometimes I'll look at a situation and I'll hear somebody say, well, they finally got what they deserved. Well, I thank God today that I never got what I deserved. I thank God every day of my life I don't get what I deserve. I thank God today that grace covers me, that it's the mercy of the Lord that's renewed daily. I thank God today that David, when he cut off that robe, felt bad because he understood the importance of the Spirit of the living God. And I want to challenge us today that you and I should know the importance of the Spirit of the living God. Yes, we should honor those among us. We should thank God for the people that he's placed in our lives that can hear the word of the Lord. And just like we were talking about earlier, we should honor God for those that he's still given dreams and he's still given visions to. We should place importance not on the person, but on the Spirit that's inside of them. You see, the same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead is the very same Spirit that he's placed on the inside of you and me. So it's good news today that when we feel down and we feel like things aren't going our way, we can still fall back and know, God, that the Spirit that you placed on the inside of me has the power to speak life over this situation. The Spirit that's on the inside of us has power to change things and heal people and make people that are oppressed and depressed have life again. You see, brothers and sisters, when David was going into that situation, I think I would have killed Saul, just to be honest with you. I would have looked at it like it was a situation that, God, you brought him in here. If you brought me to it, you'll bring me through it. God, I would have looked at it like it was a situation. It was time for Saul to get what was coming to him. And just for the sake of time, after Saul walks out of the cave, David has to go back to his men and explain himself. You see, David's men were tired and they were beat down and they were encouraged that their enemy was coming into the cave so their leader could kill him. They were excited that finally God had did what God promised. But I want to encourage us today to know that just because other people in our lives think that God's doing something doesn't mean that's the reason God brought that person to you. Maybe instead of speaking a sharp word or a harsh word to them, we're supposed to forgive them. What if the reason God brought people back into my life was not so that I could condemn them and tell them, look, I finally made it. What if the reason not so long ago God allowed me to have a conversation with the very man that put me in prison, the very man that wore the wires and did these things, and I don't have any type of hate against him anymore. I don't have to tell him, look, I finally made it. Look what I'm able to do now. I'm able to forgive, not perfectly. I still have some animosity. I still have, but God is working something on the inside of me that's allowing me to forgive and to love. And that's what you and me today have to be willing to accept from God. Because if we want the good things from God, if we want the blessings and the favor and the love of God, then we have to be willing to receive the forgiveness of God. And if you and me receive forgiveness, we need to give forgiveness. If you and me receive mercy and grace, then we need to give mercy and grace. That doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're trying to perfect that's in us. David goes back to his men, and he says to them in verse 6, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do anything to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of God. In closing today, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that when David went back to his men and didn't kill Saul, David put his life in the balance. There was a chance David could have faced an uprising. There was a chance that David's men could have told him, oh, stupid fool, you missed the chance God gave you. There was a chance that David's men could have literally killed him. But David had an answer for them and said, God forbid that I should touch the and put my hand out against the Lord's anointed. The only reason I believe that David's men didn't argue and didn't fight with him and ultimately try to kill him is because before this, David had lived such a way before them that they knew David was right. They knew that David had honored the Lord's anointed in all the situations of his life. They knew ultimately that David had lived what he was preaching. And that's one thing people can't argue with. If you love God and live for God in the good times and in the bad times, then people can't tell you that your faith's not real. If you serve God when you're losing everything and when people are hurting you and things aren't going your way, then that speaks as loud to people as when God is blessing you. David, in the middle of being able to get out of everything that he had been going through, persecution after persecution after persecution, comes out of that cave, holds up the corner of Saul's robe and calls out to Saul, and just paraphrasing, and says, "O King, live forever." Is that how I would have honored the Lord that day? Is that how you would have honored the Lord when all hell was breaking loose in our lives? I hope the Spirit of the Lord would have came upon me, but just looking at the story, I would have probably, eye for eye. But David so loved God. He so understood that the importance of the Spirit of the living God was upon Saul's life that he knew he was going to leave it up to God. And that's my word today is, what are you, what am I willing to leave up to God? Are you willing in the face of being able to make things happen for yourself, but God's not told you to do it? Are you willing to sit back and allow the opportunity to pass? And I want to encourage you today to know that later on, King David was a king like no other. And I believe because that day, King David let Saul pass. He let an opportunity that everybody around him said, "Listen, God's promises are coming true in your life. God's doing exactly what he promised you he would do." But God didn't tell him to put his hand out. I believe because King David did that, I believe his throne and his dynasty was set up forever. And anytime you read about the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's a man named David. Anytime you talk about somebody being after God with their whole heart, you got to think of King David. The reason David was a man after God's own heart is because he honored the Spirit of the Lord above everything else. Because he knew the Spirit of the Lord still could have changed Saul. He knew that Saul hadn't gone so far that he couldn't be changed. Later on, David will commit murder, rape, many other sins, and he falls before the living God and says, "God, I choose your mercy every time." I want to encourage you today to know that you've not gone too far, that your kids haven't gone too far for the living God to save them. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too hard. Nothing's too challenging. There's not a diagnosis so bad that God can't reverse it. David knew that and let Saul pass. And I encourage you today to let things pass, let things go. I encourage myself, I encourage all of us to let things go, let hurts go, let worries go, let not being enough go, let because my gifting's not what Sister Alex's or Brother Kevin's is, let those things go and just understand that the Spirit of the living God is on the inside of you, and that's enough. It's enough to be loved by God. It's enough to be redeemed by God. And maybe I'm just talking to myself today, but it's enough for the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus to be on the inside of me. That's enough. And God gives us so much more, and God gives us so many more opportunities. But I want us to be like King David and say, "God, your timing's the right timing. I want us to be like King David so that we can understand that when our enemies come in and we think people should get what they deserve, that we can self-examine. Because I promise you, when we self-examine, we think about the things that we deserve and things we mess up, and that gives us a heart of repentance, and it gives us a heart of mercy and a heart of love and a heart of forgiveness. So my question today is, what will you allow to pass? Because I promise you, God will take care of it. I promise myself, God will take care of it. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you today. I thank you that we can have that spirit that says, okay, Lord, we get scared or we get worried and we get frustrated and we get too busy and we don't listen and we talk too much and all these issues that we have. But we can be like King David, and we can let it pass until you say to attack. We can let it go until you tell us to move on the situation. We can hold on until you say move, Yahweh. I thank you for this Christmas season that each one of us can be reminded of the hope that you offer us, the joy, the love, the patience, and the peace. And I thank you that you chose to send your son so that we could all have new life. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are in this call that will hear this message. I pray that you will reveal to each one of them the spirit that you've placed on the inside of them. I pray that you will reveal to them that they're important, that they're keen in things that you need done on earth as in heaven, that they have a role to play, God. And though it's different from one another's, it's still just as important. God, I pray that you will bless us. I pray that you'll keep us. I thank you for everything that you provide. And by faith, we pray these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.